Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, March 18th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching the sermon entitled, God Has Work for Us to Do, Faithful Disciples. Our Old Testament reading today is Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12, and the gospel lesson is taken today from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21.
Last week, I confessed to you all that I'm a racist. Confession of this week is I'm a classist. I had a choice when you called me to serve here in 2016, and we were moving. We were living in Martinez, and so we needed, we were renting, and the guy there had said, we need you out because I want my best friend to move in, whatever. And I had a choice to move to Vallejo, and I didn't move to Vallejo. And I have enough income between my husband and I to live somewhere else. So I didn't move to Vallejo in 2016, and some of you know why. Maybe there was this 2016 study that I found in the Vallejo Times Herald that was listed from the law firms of Graham and Finnish, that in 2016 they listed Vallejo as the fourth most dangerous city in the state of California. The 2018 stats didn't have us there at all. But in that 2016 study, San Bernardino is listed as number one, Stockton number two, Modesto number three, and Vallejo number four. Oakland was listed as six. And then with a child entering who is in elementary school, even those of you who teach and are a part of the Vallejo City Unified School District said, yeah, school's here. I'd be a little careful. And as I get to know the schools here better, and especially Stefan Manor across the street, it's tough. The latest round of testing, 50% of the third graders did not meet grade standards. 60% of the fourth graders did not meet grade standards. And 70% of the fifth graders at the school next door are not meeting grade standards. Now, I get that test scores don't tell everything, and that there's a whole complicated thing around testing, and that's not a reflection of the staff and the teachers there who I have met and who are doing amazing things. But yes, out of self-interest, out of protection for my family and my child's education, we then looked and bought a home in Benicia. Not in the community nearby this church building. And I'm not alone in this. Right? You remember Kellen? We baptized her baby, and then also she would sing in the band. When Kellen was pregnant, there was a day here, and she lived just blocks from here, where she heard gunshots. And she thought, it's time to move. And so they moved to Vacaville. There have been concerns about shootings. Grandchildren from this congregation were shot a few months ago. One of them died. Another family, and where one of our youth, were, there was a shooting at the pawn shop across the street, in Kitty Corner, like in view of his house. And even the Times Herald this last week on the 14th, the Vallejo City Council had commissioned a community survey, and there were mixed impressions of our city, but respondents did cite crime as the top problem in Vallejo, but public education and homelessness were also listed as significant issues in the city. 41% of respondents say they do not feel safe in downtown Vallejo. This is not good news. And so the verses at the end of Isaiah that I read is what I feel like we long for. Repairer of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. Isn't that what we all want? We want streets that are safe to live in. Neighbors. Safe parks. And it's really what everyone wants. It's not hard to relate to. So how is it that God is saying this is to be brought about? That this desire for safe and restored streets to live in might come about? So let's look back at this text of Isaiah and the context, as well as the verses that come before this. Isaiah 58 comes from what scholars called Third Isaiah. And in Israel's history, this was a time after the temple had been destroyed, and after a time that the political and religious leaders had been exiled. And after that exile, one of the ways they turned back to God is they fasted. They fasted on the 5th and 7th months, praying and seeking a response from God as an answer to their troubles. And so fasting was one of the primary ways that they were able to worship when they didn't have a temple to worship in. And they asked God for help. So in prior to verse 6, they ask, "Why do we fast, but you, God, don't see or take notice?" And then the response is what we read this morning. But God's response, again, is not just to reach out and rescue and zap and make everything perfect again. What God asks back when he's asked this question is a question in return to the Israelites. "Okay, you're fasting, but is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke." But then he changes the pronoun, right? God's saying, is this not the fast I choose? Is it not to share whose bread? Your bread with the hungry. To bring the homeless poor into your house. And when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your kin. And then there comes a series of sort of, it's these if-then statements. If you fast like this, then God says, then I will help. If you offer your food, then your light will rise in the darkness. If you satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your gloom will be like the noonday. If-thens are conditional statements. Wait. What happened to the unconditional love of God? Can we talk about unconditional love? What are these if-then statements then? I'm a little uncomfortable with this. God's only going to help if you're doing your part. But I sat on this a little bit longer. And I began wondering if the if-then statements were not so much God's conditional love and seen more as a relationship and partnership with God. One that elevates our human actions to be powerful like God's actions can be powerful. Because, okay, flip it around for a moment. What if the prophet had said, "Hey, you can't do anything that's going to make the world any better. Too bad. That's God's work. Just keep going." That's not very empowering. And that's not going to bring around change. And also then, there isn't any relationship or partnership. So I'm wondering then if the if-then language means, you know, if you hold my hand, then we can do this together. And then I will work through you and in you. What it ultimately means is that God needs us. And there is work for us here on earth and here in Vallejo to be doing. And that work is more than fasting. It's more than singing wonderful songs about Jesus. It's more than prayers and our personal piety. The work is God's work of justice, which is being aware of the vulnerable and the hungry, the ones without power and voice, and then to take action so that those needs are addressed, these basic human dignities, to be in action of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Again, there's the vertical prayer and worshiping God, angle, but if there's no horizontal, then we haven't partnered with God. And so then if you have the vertical and the horizontal, if we partner with God, then indeed you shall be the ones to raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. You are the restorer of streets to live in. But here's the deal. This practice and work of justice does not mean the one-shot action. If you offer food to the hungry once, then they're okay. They're not hungry tomorrow. Doesn't really work that way. You can't say, hey, I did this once, pat yourself on the back, and be done. Verse 10 talks about satisfying the needs of the afflicted. And those needs never go away, and so our work to be doing God's work never goes away. But how do we do this? I looked back at verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden. Just the way that you're not just hungry once and then that solves your hunger for the rest of the year. You can't just water a plant once a year and think that it's going to live and thrive either. Water, we've been doing this series on water and roll down justice. Water is a cycle, and it needs to flow. So it flows into us, it flows out to the vulnerable, and it flows back to God. That's how this thing needs to keep moving. If it just flows into us and it stops, it's going to get stagnant. But this partnering is letting it flow in and flow out. Some of you who grew up in the church remember that song, Love is nothing till you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is nothing till you give it away. You end up having more, right? So the question, though, of what to do and how to help are many, right? Who do we help? Are we helping our neighbors? Are we doing something nationwide? Are we helping our neighbors who are in Haiti? And at what level do we address? Are we doing individual needs? Are we going to pick up that one starfish and fling it back out in the ocean? Or is there something about working with institutions like schools and the city? What about whole societal systems where we talk about racism, we talk about respect, we talk about bullying? And the questions of what to do also go into, you know, are we responding or are we reacting? Are we just rushing in to help with the latest disaster? Or is there a place to be helping with development of vaccines? What about the causes of homelessness and how we address mental illness in our society? And I don't know about you, but then I can easily start to get overwhelmed and frozen by wondering if I'm taking the right step towards justice in any particular situation. Does it help to give a dollar to the man on the corner, or is that supporting an addiction? Is that really doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God? Or is it better to go to the do-gooders get-together, the magnanimous mixer that happened in Vallejo on Friday night, and to partner with other people who are trying to make Vallejo a better place to live for all of us? Or is it better to give generously and sacrificially to the special offering so that we as PCUSA are poised to be responsive to the next world disaster? I don't always know. But what I do know is that I need to do something and respond somewhere and somehow in order to keep that flow going. And so to not get overwhelmed with the too many questions, but to start somewhere, to know that God is calling me to do something, to partner with God and God's desires. And so I invite you to consider, too, how God is inviting you to to do something. One of the other things I learned about this passage in Isaiah is a lot of time when it says you, it's the you plural. English doesn't have the you and the you all. Well, except if you're in the South, right? Then it's all y'all. So a lot of the passages actually means you all. This particular passage, the you is singular. You are going to be the repairers of the breach. You are the restorer of streets to live in. And yet I do think we don't get out of the all y'all either, right? That you, CPC, right here on Georgia Street, need to do something and to keep doing it for the poor, the vulnerable, the hungry, the cold, and the forgotten. And as we do something, then those waters of justice will be flowing in us and through us and into the world. And that's what God longs for us and for our community.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.